Vocalo Radio, Chicago's only urban alternative. This is Cada Mañana by Atropolis and Vivian Garcia, who is joining us in the studio. Hello.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me today.
I love this song, by the way. It sounds so good.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
And we also have Vocalo's very own from Domingos on Vocalo. We have Rocio Santos. Hello.
Hello. Hola. Buenas tardes. How are you,
Nuria? Oh, my gosh. I'm doing so good. Welcome to the new studio. Everyone's getting to see it. You know, some of our first guests. I think you're like our third guest to be in here. So happy to have you in. And we want to talk about this event you guys have going on. So it's happening tomorrow, Epiphany Center for the Arts. And Vivian, you are headlining, right? This is the show.
Yeah. So I originally had a date for in November, and then I had to reschedule, and they gave me March 8th as a date. And I said, I absolutely have to and want to invite other women on the billing. And so that's when I thought immediately of Rocio, because she is just an amazing woman who has put so many other women artists at the forefront. And then another artist, Maria Velasquez, an up-and-coming artist. So I wanted to make a women-fronted, women-centered event on International Women's Day.
I love it. Yes, so tomorrow is International Women's Day.
Absolutely.
And you could support female artists. I know you were saying you recently went to go see a female artist band, right?
Last night I saw Las Migas from España. They are four women who do rumba flamenca, which is very traditionally male-dominated. And it was so powerful. It was such a powerful performance. I was in tears when they were talking about the importance of representation as women on the stage. You know, so.
Now, that's what you studied, right? The rumba flamenca? It says in your bio. That's what I'm saying.
It's true. No lies. At one point in my life, I was actually a teacher and an administrator for 23 high schools, and I left that job to go study guitar techniques in southern Spain because I was I went to the caves.
Wow.
Legit, like the caves of southern Spain to study some of these traditional rhythms. Ultimately, because I got a little frustrated as a vocalist. I've been a vocalist for 25 years, but only performing with guitar on my own for 15. And I got really kind of just tired of being told how to sing and what to sing by generally the male counterparts who were accompanying me. So I just, you know, went in and really decided to learn how to do this on my own.
I was going to say, so when you went to Spain, did you find that same, you know, like, dynamic as well, or did you find more female mentors in a way?
Well, that is a really complex question for southern Spain, especially with flamenco, because there's an ethnomusicology kind of element to it where it is very male dominated. Flamenco guitar, flamenco, the women have a lot of powers, the dancers. Las mujeres mandan, that means that the women tell the guitarist.
I was going to say, that's what I think in my head when I think of flamenco. A lot of us think of the flamenco dancers.
Yeah, and the dancers actually tell the guitarist with their footwork what to do. But I was met with, you're a woman, like on the streets, literally. I have a guitar and they're like, you're not supposed to play guitar.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no debes tocar la guitarra.
Like, what year was this? Like 20?
I know. 2000 and I went three times, 2006, 2007, and 2009 for like 2 to 3 month intervals, like to study intensive guitar work there.
And how would you respond to that? I mean, that's a pretty crazy thing to hear on the street.
There are a lot of cultural elements that I, you know, want to tread lightly upon in terms of the music. But on the flip side, I met some amazing women who were in my guitar classes, and one of them, Afra Malmsteen, she's from Sweden. She's Swedish and Italian, and she's one of the best flamenco guitarists in the world. And ultimately taught, went back to teach in the schools in Southern Spain, teach med. So,
oh, I love that.
Yeah, and we're still friends. I'm like, we're still friends.
So after that, I mean, so you said you were teaching at 23 schools.
Oh, well, I was an education and careers director for these high schools.
Okay. And then you just kind of like, I feel like it's like a eat, pray, love thing, right? Like a Latina version of eat, pray, love.
You just Let me tell you. Yeah, ultimately, I came from a family with very scarce resources. We experienced food and housing insecurities when I was growing up. So I didn't have the luxury of having my parents be able to sponsor my artistry. So I literally had to forego full-time work to sponsor my own coming into being an artist. And that's what I did there. And I'd spent so much time doing education and not-for-profit work that I was like, well, I feel like I deserve to invest in myself. And that's what I did.
And are you born and raised Chicago?
Yeah. Just raised. I was actually born in Texas. I don't tell people.
This ain't Texas.
That's such a surprise. I didn't know that.
Surprise.
Okay.
And I was born there. And then my family was moved here when I was 9 due to some of the scarcity issues I mentioned. And so I came in December as a 9-year-old with no coat and no knowledge of Chicago. And when the kids were like, do you like house music? And I was like, at whose house?
which house is this? Oh my gosh.
And they're like, it's time for gym, because we call it PE gym here. And I was like, who's gym?
What, your culture shock, right?
But then from the age of 9 until my ripe young age of 49 that I just turned, I've been a Chicago girl. So,
well, I mean, look, at least you didn't have to deal with eating Tex-Mex your whole life, right?
Oh, yeah.
No offense. Just saying, the Chicago food is much better.
And she has Cuban roots, so she knows a lot about, you know, cooking, Cubano style.
Yes, both my parents were from Cuba, so.
I love this. And you're also, you know, like, we kind of got into it. I didn't get to do your full intro, but you are, you know, Chicago-based singer-songwriter, Emmy-nominated.
I opened for Emmy nominated groups. I know.
Featured on a daytime Emmy nominated.
I did have a song that we didn't play that one, but Ven Conmigo was featured on a show called East Los High on Hulu that was out of LA. So, yeah.
Amazing. And so, like, in your career, because again, like, what were some of your goals? You know, like, a lot of people want to tour. A lot of people want to maybe be going to songwriting or production. Like, you know, when you have a passion for in art, you know, you don't always think of those things. But for you, what was
it? It's been a very pastiche trajectory where I started really primarily playing in restaurants and bars and gallery sidewalk sales. You know?
like farmers markets?
100. And so I actually never saw myself becoming a songwriter. I didn't know I was going to become a songwriter. It sort of happened because I went and lived in a different part of Spain. I went and lived in Madrid for 3 years. I did a master's degree in literature there. And it was a lot harder than I thought. And all of my loneliness, which will come out in the last song that we do later, sort of had to be channeled. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm a songwriter. So then that started to happen. And then I started to accompany myself more on guitar. And so I wasn't one of those artists who real early on was like, I know what I want to do. I want to be famous. I've actually never wanted to be famous. That probably will never happen. I know, speaking it into the universe. But I love performing for people. I love the human connection. And so my goal generally as an artist is live performance and, you know, that back and forth. And then hopefully one day sustainability. But, yeah.
I'm just marking it down right now. If you ever get famous, we're going to use that as a clip. And we are going to, like, you know, just try to promote that as much. We're just going to try to cash that in. Cash that in as much as we can. But I love that. And it is so pure because I feel like, you know, the youth nowadays, like, it's really all about the fame. And I feel like sometimes we lose a little bit of the artistry in that. Like, in all forms of arts, I mean, with dancing, with singing. I mean, like, the TikTok dancing has kind of... I was watching So You Think You Can Dance the other day, and they're like, this is hurt a lot of the younger generation because they, you know, like, they only see this one form on the small social media, and they lose a lot of the, like, in-person performing skills. And so I feel like you're not really an artist unless you could do what you do in person.
I mean, I definitely think there are different types of artists, and there are some people who are the bedroom recording artists and some people who are, like, the big stage artists. And then there are, like, the majority of artists are actually working class artists, middle or working class artists who are out there doing all kinds of, you know, face-to-face work with their communities. And I think that does get lost, that there's no less value in being that type of artist. I think just the challenge is most of us, the sustainability part is difficult because the system we currently live in doesn't really value the arts enough to be like, let's give you a living wage for your work. So that's the challenge of being that type of artist.
So it's like gigs, you know, you have to rack up your calendar with gig to gig.
Hustle so hard. Yeah. It is literally you grind. You
know? And so, you know, how did you meet Rocio? Because, of course, she's like, we have to have this guest come in. Yeah. And I'm so happy she brought you in. But, like, how did you guys get connected and form this?
This is kind of cool because, actually, when we started the program in Domingos en Bocalo, which is our Spanish language programming on the weekends and Sundays between 12 p.m. and 4 p.m., she was my first guest.
Oh, my gosh.
Domingos en Bocalo. Yeah, that was, like, 10 years ago. Yeah, we celebrated 10 years last year. And I met her, I think I met her by listening to her first album called Beth. I forgot the date of that, when that was released, but I think you were going to perform at this Unisono Festival, which now is Pilsen Festival.
Okay.
And I heard her voice and I was like, oh my God, you know, I just really like the way she expressed herself, especially because it was very, like, you know, I mean, songs about heartbreak and all of that. Which is very emotional because at that point I was going through a lot, you know, of, like,
that's always when it hits. Yeah.
And one of her songs just really got to me and I was like, oh my God, I do need to interview her. And I think that's how it started. We connected and then she was one of my first guests. Yeah. So that's how we've known each other for quite a long time.
Yeah. And Rocio's been really, really supportive, and almost every project I've ever put out, you know, she's highlighted not just mine, but so many women, especially here, Latino women in Chicago. So.
And I just wanted to add that when you were saying that, you know, there's people that tell you when you were growing up, like, hey, you cannot do this, especially as woman, you know, like, especially men, like, telling you, like, oh, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. That's why it's so important to create those platforms and to have those, like, woman-led events. Because, unfortunately, we're still, like, actually one of, like, the each year for International Women's Day, Women's History Month, the UN changes, like, the theme. So this year the theme is Invest in Women. Because we're still not at that equality when it comes to, you know, like, how much we get paid for, even in music. I mean, in the music industry, in all levels, we're still not paid the same. And it's also kind of, like, shocking how, you know, there's a lot of talent, but we're still struggling
to be, like, the headliners. It's only, like, 25% of headliners are women. Yep. Only, like, 10 to 12% of songwriters that get to the billboards are women. Producers are, like, 3%. So the numbers are really still the parity issue is huge.
I will say it is, of course, times have changed a lot, but being a woman in most of the arts industry, it is very difficult to maneuver because you have to make connections. Yes. With men, but in a way that you're like, okay, I'm not trying to take you out on a date, you know, like it's very tricky as a woman to move in an industry where you have to build connections and make connections. And also like people don't take it the wrong way. Or if you ever turn someone down, you know, like it personally, it could really affect you in a way it doesn't affect men, right? They could just be buddies. They could just be buddy, buddy. But like as a woman, we have to be so careful when we're navigating.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I could write a whole novel on the experience.
I think all of us can write a whole novel on this. And actually, there's an interesting study called Be the Change, which is produced by TuneCore, which is this do-it-yourself platform. And each year they have released a study about, you know, the situation of women in the music industry. It turns out that from last year in 2023, it comes out that a lot of women have faced sexual harassment, you know, and it's shocking. Mm-hmm. It's like over 40%. So I think we have all experienced that at some level in our creative careers. Yeah.
Yeah, where you're uncomfortable and you have to, you know, like you can't really say how uncomfortable you really are, you know?
I mean, I've lost opportunities to continue to perform at certain places because I didn't reciprocate in certain ways with owners, people who were like, I'll remix your music, and then are like, oh, I wanted this other thing too. I mean, it's a dark path, you know? It's very challenging, and I think the more challenging part for me has been that sometimes some of these same men kind of align themselves with other like progressive, powerful women. So then you try to speak your truth and then your truth doesn't sound very true anymore.
Mm-hmm. And I feel that's why, you know, especially like in Women's History Month, it's also important for like men to reflect on that and how you can actually become allies. Like if you're a promoter, if you're a host, if you're a producer, hey, well, reach out to the local talent that you have in town, you know, kind of like open the spaces as well for women. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it's also like kind of like that, having that exercise of like, hey, you can also change your, right?
I agree. I 100% agree.
Yeah, no, it completely starts. It can be at any level. And even just admitting that maybe your behavior, even if it's just like you're a little creepy, like just admit, you know, like you, it doesn't mean you don't have to have like gone to jail to be like,
exactly, you know, to reflect and change.
Yes, exactly. It's like, you know, maybe
call out your friends, you know, when they're like being misogynistic and sexist with, you know, the woman that you share the space with, kind of like call it out. And I feel that's why it's so important for us as women. I mean, this platform that you have, just showing that sorority is so powerful for us, you know, kind of creating that community of like, hey, I can, you know, I can reach out to this person if she could interview you and we can help each other.
I've been like teary-eyed this whole time. I keep like wiping my nose because there's so much emotion.
And we also have been, I mean, one of the things that I have also worked on as a DJ, as a host, is also like deconstructing myself. And I think that has happened like in the last few years where I'm also changing my, you know, like, because we as women, I mean, I grew up in a generation where I saw women, or the thing was like, you see women as competition, but we're not competition, you know, we all have like our different identities. And so how can we build that like stronger like community instead of just seeing somebody as competition? So.
Yeah, it's definitely a journey. Because sometimes you will see someone, you're like, you know? And you have to stop. You kind of have to stop yourself too, you know? So it's like everyone could always be better and we could always change. And especially like I love Voklo. We love our platform.
Yes.
But the coolest thing, like not only do we get to highlight, you know, local artists, Chicago artists, real things happening in Chicago. But since we do have that power, we can make those bonds. Like we were talking about upcoming shows for Voclo. And, you know, that's when you kind of have to say, okay, we need a female. We need some female representation. We need some female talent because Chicago is so talented. Oh. Yes, the artists here are amazing, you know?
So many women. There are so many, especially like the younger generation of women who are up and coming in the scene are just so powerful and so talented. But, right, still having those pathways, and there's still a lot of gatekeeping. And so it's very, very challenging if you don't know the right folks. And then it kind of goes back to what you were talking about. Some of those right folks or tastemakers still fall in line with some of those old school ways of doing business. So it is challenging.
And now tell us a little bit more about the show. Rocio, I didn't know this. I didn't know you had a different DJ name.
I do.
Rocio Sounds.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's kind of like my Instagram handle. And actually, shout out to my friend Sarai, because long time ago, we were looking for like a handle for Twitter. Back then, Twitter, now X. And so she would always like remind me of like, hey, how did we go by, you know, Roxy? C as an affirmation in Spanish. And so I was like, oh, yeah, maybe. And I would wear, like, this is, like, the real story. Probably no one knows this, but I used to wear a lot of, like, the Roxy brand shirts.
Those were hard. In style.
So everybody would call me Roxy, like, 10 years ago. So that's how I kept the name. And I was like, oh, yeah, Rocio Sounds, you know, with an X. Yeah. But so I started DJing, even though I, you know, radio DJ. I think DJing live is a different story. And you know that because you're also a DJ.
Yeah, it's completely different.
So actually, last year, I was invited to DJ Vinyl at Millennium Park.
Oh, wow.
And, oh, my God. After that, I was like, wow, like, this is another story. I mean, I have been invited to DJ, but honestly, oh, my God, I freak out, like, on stage. I don't like the stage, even though I can be in front of a microphone. I don't like the stage. But I had to just, you know, like, be powerful. And I was like, okay, I threw myself on stage. And after that, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to start doing this if people invite me, you know. But I also adopted, like, a particular, like, you know, thing when it's like, okay, if I have the power to select songs and to present this curation to people, I'm going to make a representation of, hey, where are the women in music, right? So I have this podcast called Músicas al Frente, which is every month. It's a collaboration with two other music journalists. And so what we do is kind of like we recap like what are the releases coming out every month. And so I just started doing this as, like, an exercise, and all of a sudden, Vivian calls me, and she's like, hey, do you want to curate the, you know, like, the soundtrack for International Women's Day, El Día de la Mujer? And I was like, hell yeah, of course. So what I'm going to do is make a selection, a historic selection of women from the past and from the present going from around the world. So going from, like, Nina Simone to, like, Julieta Venegas in Mexico, to, like, some African musicians. So kind of, like, giving a showcase of, you know, what we are doing in the music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See, I didn't even know. I just, like, gave carte blanche. I was like, dude, because, yeah. I mean, this is what you do. So.
No, and it's important.
That's on brand for you, though, to really take it there. She really gave it a whole nother thought.
Yeah. And it's important to highlight our role, not only as listeners, as escuchas, but also as DJs. You know, it's so important to have this platform because I think sometimes, like, in the music industry, they don't realize the importance of what we do as curators and as, you know, how do we select a song to play on air? So I think there's something behind that that drives us to play a song on air. It's not only because, oh, you want to highlight this specific artist because it's the hype and that's what's playing out there, right? And that's why Bocalo is different, because we actually, our curation is very different and it's also very personal. So I think that's what I want to highlight for Women's History Month, like a reflection of the woman in music around the world.
And you did a great job. Sorry. When you DJed at Millennium Park, she opened for Carla Morrison.
That's a big stage. And everyone's just staring at you. That's the one thing, you know, people are just eyes.
I was so nervous about it. I just had to block myself from like, oh my God, I'm not going to be looking at people. I'm just going to do my job. And I did. But
I love this. And so, again, if you want to attend the event, it starts... Doors are at 5 p.m. for Golden Hour.
So the Golden Hour, somebody else will be playing music, so they can get there early. But the show starts at 7:30, and Rocio will begin with her curated set, and it goes until 9:30.
Oh, perfect. And then, you know, you could get tickets at the door and online.
EpiphanyShy.com is where you can get the tickets from. So
perfect. And you, Vivian Garcia, are headlining it. And who else is performing with you?
So there's a young artist. We were talking about it. She doesn't even have her work yet up on Spotify, which that doesn't mean you're an artist or not an artist, as we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. But her name is Maria Velasquez. And I saw her... I met her through these open mics that I was doing, and I found her work actually online. She was kind of like, who's this lady who keeps bugging me to be on like, my billing? But she's fabulous. Her voice is so rich and deep in her songwriting. I wish she were here, but she could talk about like her 70s influences. But she does English and Spanish, and I don't know if she'll like this, you know, reference or not, but I feel like she's kind of like a young Lila Downs. Like she can just go there, but her voice is really, just really, really powerful singing. So
I love that's a true talent scout right there. She doesn't even have any music on Spotify.
Exactly. But it was so important to me to be like, let me create an opportunity for like somebody who's established, who highlights established artists, and then somebody who is just up and coming, and as women and as Latina women. I mean, I think we all identify as Latina. I don't want to assume.
Yeah.
But and I just want to add that this is just the start, because we've been talking about how can we actually, you know, support the woman in the local scene here in Chicago with like actually offering resources and tools that they can use to kind of promote their music projects. So this is just a start.
Yeah, we had brainstormed a little bit. I've been thinking it through for a while, learning, because I have I'm like a little segue but I have a song that is in a movie right now that was picked up by Sony, and it won 2 awards at Sundance, but it's written and directed by a woman, an Iranian-American woman called The Persian Version, V-E-R-S-I-O-N. And all these people are like, how do you get into sync licensing? And like, I have fallen into it, but it's a whole other world. So like, and even with, you know, Rocio and Roxy, we talk about like, oh, how do people learn? Not all of us know how to submit to a radio station, or like, what are the steps? What are the processes? So just maybe hopefully eventually working towards creating some workshops that facilitate more women, young and mature.
No, I love that, because the knowledge in the music industry is so important. Yes. That people, once they do, you know, kind of have some type of, you know, good track or some luck by getting picked up somewhere, there's a lot of predatory publishing deals.
Oh,
there's a lot of predatory publishing houses.
Yeah,
predatory, like some of the record deals, like even some of these big stars that you see now are stuck in a deal where it's like they have a 400 song placement deal, right? Where they can't get out of a contract until they have 400. I know everyone's getting a little PTSD here, but
no, that's
it is so important as an artist. Like, people just want to make it and make it, But when you actually make it, there's a lot of things you don't know about the industry, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm an old lady. I didn't know like A&Rs or like I said, sync placements. And that's because of the type of artist I became. Some people do know, but ultimately I think, it's just the education part of it and access to folks who will tell you, because I'm going to be honest, I have played upwards of 1,500 shows in my life, maybe 2,000. I don't know. I perform a lot. I have a couple of sing placements and played some big stages. And yet I'll ask friends who are in the industry, like, who do you think I should go to for management? And they're like, oh, well, you know, you really shouldn't seek out a manager until it's more work than you can do on your own. I'm like, oh, this is why I'm asking you. So I think, again, a lot of gatekeeping that folks do because it's so hard to get there, that once you're there, you're like, I don't want to share.
Yeah, they made all the mistakes. And it's like, look, not everyone has to make those mistakes, you know? So I love this again. And tomorrow's International Women's Day, this amazing event, curated sounds, feels, energy from... Yes. Latina artists, Latina women, is happening at the Epiphany Center for the Arts. Doors open at 5 p.m. for Golden Hour. Showtime is at 7:30. You could purchase tickets at epiphanyshy.com. And it must be 21 and older, please. But you could go ahead and buy tickets in advance. They're always a little bit cheaper, or you could buy them at the door. But if you want a deal, I love a good deal, you could buy them beforehand. And thank you so much to the headliner we've had in with us, Vivian Garcia, and our very own from Domingos, Rocio Santos.
Gracias, Nudia. I love you. You know, always listen to you on the radio, but it's a different thing seeing you, you know, like on the other side.
Yeah, we don't get to see each other often.
Yeah.
So I love it. And we'll go ahead and you guys could give us your Instagram handles, where to find you, Vivian.
Sure. It's Fly Mariposa Chicago. Or Vivian Garcia Music, and then it'll take you to that on Instagram.
All right, cool. Yeah. And you can find me at Rocio Sounds, Rocio.sounds on Instagram. And I'm also on Sundays on Bocalo from 12 to 2 p.m.
And we'll go ahead and finish out this interview with your song, Vivian. Is it, Rocio, one of your favorites? Cold Bed.
Yes. When we were talking about when I met her.
Yeah, we were talking about what songs to play, and she's like, "Cold Bed," and you're like, "I guess we'll play that song."
Yes.
And maybe if you could give us a drop, your artist name, and you're listening to Vocalo, and we'll play your song.
Okay.
This is Vivian Garcia. You are listening to Vocalo.
That was perfect. Wow. Okay. Vocalo Radio.